Folks, as we inch closer to the finale of this amazing comms that are flying out left and right for all of us to enjoy, we're going to encounter more and more of the enemy facing the pain and realization this is a losing battle against the Almighty, against all of us. We are learning so much about how this world works, how the evil presents itself when down. We're going to see a lot of that today in this video. And we're going to see how the people rise up against and show the enemy that we've woken up to their games and we need to continue to stick together, okay? So here we go. Hope you enjoy.
Tell your wife and children I'll be sailing with you. It's going to rain.
Tell your wife and children I'll be sailing with you. It's going to rain. I love that from the Isaacs. They're going to be joining us August 11th through 18th, 2024 at sea with LT. That's the title that was given for us to all gather together on a boat in Alaska. We'll start in Seattle, but you know, we'll have a great time together. Imagine just hanging out with all of your friends and realizing that everyone in a giant room together, on the boat together, out around Alaska, are all part of this movement where we're growing and learning together, in even in a biblical fashion. It's going to be amazing. I'll be giving a lot of biblical testimony, stuff about my family, going to be sharing comms about things that I believe are going on that I don't share in video and more. I hope you join us. It's in the description box below, okay?
They're trying to damage me so they can win another election. They want to do
a different... You ever just say to yourself, you know, I'm done. This is what they... Why?
Can't.
A lot of people would have said, I'm going to come out. Why are you staying in this?
I can't because... I want to make America great again. It's not great right now. And we can do that.
I think it's interesting, before I play the rest of this, Laura Ingraham there with this town hall, knowing that full well that President Trump's got the support of all the people. I remember listening to her the election of 2016 leading into that. And I remember her giving a testimony about walking up to a rally. I think it was at midnight or 1 a.m. And she was amazed at the number of people that were showing up. I believe it was after his final rally going in to that election. And she just was overwhelmed by the support of President Trump and all the people behind him. And now she's asking, why do you want to continue this? Now, I don't know if that means she's trying to convince him that, you know, goodness gracious, got all these, wants the people to listen in and basically say, you've got all these people against you, all of these indictments and the, you know, the constant barrage of attacks on you. Why do you want to just keep going? Why just give up? It's not, in a sense, you know, to put him down, but then to lead into the fact that, yeah, he's under a lot of attack. Yeah, he's risked a lot. We know that. And yet he's able to continue to sit there, look at her in the eyes, and for the people to hear him once again say, no, it's not working.
Get it fixed. It's harder now. It would have been so much easier if we just finished off that. Everything would have been so perfect. We had the border set. Everything was set to rock and roll. We had no
inflation. So you feel like you have an obligation to America?
I do.
Because it's all coming in on you now.
If I didn't,
from criminal to civil,
if I didn't
to the
run,
money.
No, I got everything. I've become an expert at law. If I didn't run, I wouldn't have any of these lawsuits. You know that. None of them. They would have gone on to the next. And look, Nikki has no chance. But if she ever did, they would go after her the same way. These are vicious people. These are vicious, sick people. They're sick. And this judge is sick. He got overturned on this case so far, overturned by the appellate division 4 times already on this case.
Do you expect the Supreme Court's going to overturn this? You're going to have to preserve your federal claim here below.
Correct.
So you're going to have to say, we have a constitutional claim here against this excessive fine. And so there are constitutional hurdles you're going to have to cross. Are you going to expect the Supreme Court would interfere in a state court decision?
I've never seen such support on a decision before. Truckers, everybody, they're saying, we're not going to deal in New York. People are leaving New York. I've never seen support like this. I think there's a lot of pressure on the court system of New York to do what's right.
And we're going to talk about the truckers a little bit later, just to let you know.
Borrow a small amount of money by comparison. You pay it back. The bank is in love with you. And by the way, this is a time, and a lot of the audience says, no, banks are doing very badly with commercial loans. They're not getting their money back. They're in default, everything. This was a perfect loan. I did a favor to this bank. I borrowed money. I paid it back. It was already done. Just one second. I pay it back. And then this guy uses this. They come. It was just a weapon. They come after me and they charge me many times the money that you're talking about. $355 million fine for a perfect loan. Where the bank was happy, the insurance companies, everybody's happy. And even he, in his statement, he said Trump did nothing
wrong. Said he didn't have any contrition.
Hey, Sean Hannity here.
So there we go. That clip there for you to enjoy. And here's one big one for
all. I don't care about the revenge thing. I know they usually use the word revenge. Will there be revenge? My revenge will be success.
My revenge will be success. They keep talking about his revenge. They had to bring it up again in the town hall. Folks are getting tired on the left. Anti-Trump burnout, says the New York Times. The resistance says it's exhausted. Yeah, Katie Gluck put that out. Bracing for yet another election against Donald Trump. America's liberals are feeling the fatigue. Quote, we're kind of like crisis out. One Democrat said, and that's in the portion of the New York Times, South Carolina primary 2024. And of course, going after Trump with all of his the money and more. I thought this was interesting that even the Communist News Network had something to say about President Trump and his money.
Gregory, is there any good financial news for Trump?
Yeah, so very interesting. And Audie, in fact, was the one who pointed this out to me. Trump's Truth Social share worth. So back in 2022, it was about $700 million. Last year, it was less than $100 million. But there's this idea, essentially, that Truth Social will, in fact, be able to go public. And how much would Trump's shares be worth if it does, in fact, go public? It could be upwards of $4 billion. That's billion with a B, not million with an M. Now, of course, keep in mind that Trump can't sell these stocks for another 6 months. But the fact is, we've had all this bad news for Trump. This could be good financial news for Donald Trump.
Harry Anton, great to see you.
It could be good financial news. $4 billion on Truth Social. Wow. That's just big numbers. Speaking of numbers, it's not working out for New York. Even O'Leary chimed in on Fox News and all this going on with the attacks on President Trump, how it's not playing out. The truckers are actually boycotting going to New York. I'll show you that in a minute. But here's O'Leary.
Who lost money? This is some arbitrary decision a judge made. This policy and what this says, what does this say about the bar, the legal bar in New York? Aren't they going to question this judge? What is this? $355 million and there's dollars as a penalty and there's plus interest at 9% and there's no victim? I mean, I'm sorry, her words fall on deaf ears to everybody. There's nothing she can say to justify this decision. And this has nothing to do with Trump. Nothing to do with Trump. Forget about Trump. This is not a Trump situation. This is a New York problem now. The whole world is looking at this saying, what are you doing to yourselves?
A big New York problem. And it continue on was we have old Glenn Beck talking to and talking about the truckers and what they're doing about New York.
One of the best things I have heard in a long time, and I'd love to talk to truckers. If you're a trucker and you're going to participate in this, not going to ask your name, just call us up. If you're one of the truckers that are refusing now to drive to New York City after the $355 million fraud ruling on Donald Trump. A conservative social media influencer and trucker who goes by Chicago Ray posted a video clip in which he claims some of his colleagues are going to stop making deliveries to New York City to protest the ruling. I've been on the radio talking to drivers of the past hour, and I've talked to about 10 drivers, and they're going to start refusing loads to New York City starting on Monday. So does that include any drivers that are listening to me now? Rob, you're a truck driver in Pennsylvania. Do you deliver much to New York City?
Well, I delivered about a month ago. I delivered eight times to the five boroughs.
Okay. And are you going to continue to do it?
No, sir. I've already told my dispatch that they're under no circumstances will I be crossing that bridge again. I won't go into New York State. Wow. Much less the city.
So what was dispatch's reaction to that? Do you get any heat?
No, I actually got, another one. It seems like about between 20 and 25% of our drivers have refused to go into take any loads into New York State anymore.
Now, will that make a difference, 25%?
The thing is I work for a multinational company, huge company, and they will resort to using outside drivers and paying more.
Roger in Alabama. Hello, Roger.
Yeah. Hey, I drive into the city probably a couple times a week, delivering fresh seafood from the Gulf, from Louisiana and Alabama, Mississippi. And for me to drive into New York City, it's a pain, but it pays well. But so I'm not going to do that anymore. And as far as being able to recoup the loss for, I will be able to find loads going anywhere. Finding loads, I own my own truck and I own my own trailer and I book my own freight. So finding loads is easy. What some of the other drivers might be talking about is the drivers that are coming around that have no experience that are willing to drive into the city who will have a terrible time. I mean, New York City, if a bunch of independent truck drivers start doing this, New York City will feel a pinch real quick, but it really won't hurt the trucking industry, at all, because there's such a demand for drivers.
Right.
And experienced drivers who are independent, own their own truck and own their own trailer, and run their business well, they won't have a problem with it.
That's right. No problem at all. So the truckers will be fine. The truck companies are always hiring, looking for folks to drive. New York's going to feel the pinch. Oh, yeah. What other things might be interesting about all of this money stuff playing out with President Trump? Well, this is something I found very, very interesting on X. And this guy, I've played him before. And it looks pretty cool. Check this out.
To those who still don't see what's happening,
let me talk to you.
Get this. Trump was ordered to pay $355 million in his New York civil trial on Friday. And on the very next day, Trump pulls a boss move by dropping his new sneaker line at SneakerCon in Philly. And why is the Never Surrender high top sneakers in pure gold? Could it be at all related to the soon coming financial system that is backed by gold?
The BRIC nations are launching a currency backed by gold.
And why did the American flags behind Trump at the Michigan rally later that night no longer have gold fringes on them? Could it be at all related to the final puzzle on Wheel of Fortune that same night? Think they're trying to tell us something?
Brief power outage.
Or predictive program.
So brief power outage played out on Wheel of Fortune recently. So is that predictive programming? Trump knows what time it is regardless. Here we go. Yes.
Trump knows what time it is.
So something's happening, right? Something's happening.
Something's happening, right? Something's happening. So whatever we play here today, whatever we see from the evil ones playing out on some of the clips that I have, hopefully we'll remember to just remind everybody, yeah, they've got their issues. Yeah, people are saying that the stock market might crash right when President Trump wins. Who knows the timing so that they can try to use that against everyone as leverage or maybe before the election to go against Trump. We'll show that later. But whatever's going on behind the scenes, we have to continue to remain calm and in prayer and realize, we can't control this, but God's in control, right? Well, speaking of health, here's something good for you. Well, folks, are you still having trouble sleeping or you're hurt, pain, stressed out? Found a solution for you. CBD from CB Distillery. It's been a real change. CB Distillery's targeted formulations are made from the highest quality, clean ingredients. No fluff, no fillers, just pure, effective CBD solutions designed to help support your health. In two non-clinical surveys, 81% of customers experience more calm, 80% said CBD helped with pain after physical activity, and an impressive 90% said they slept better with CBD. If you struggle with a health concern and haven't found relief, make the change like I did to CB Distillery. And with over 2 million customers and a solid 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery is the source to trust. I have a 20% discount. To get you started, visit cbdistillery.com. In the description box below, use code LT for 20% off. That's cbdistillery.com. Use code LT.
Some of you, perhaps a few of you in the media, came here today to see if I'm dropping out of the race. Well, I'm not. Far from it, and I'm here to tell you why. I'm running for president because we have a country to save. Since the start of my campaign,
she's crying. Let's see, do I have that crying clip? I think I have it right here. Yeah, let me bring this over.
I wish Michael was here today. And I wish our children. And I could see him tonight, but we can't. He's serving on the other side of the world, where conflict is the norm, where terrorists hide among the innocent, where Iran's terrorist proxies are now attacking American troops. I wish my...
She's using the crying and the tears to try to get people to feel sorry for her. And then she continues to go after the one person who, you know, they're trying to take out in the first place, is President Trump.
But he's not the only one who's replaced normalcy with chaos. Donald Trump has done that too. It's not normal to insult our military heroes and veterans.
That's right.
When did he do that? Anybody have a clue?
It's not normal to spend $50 million in campaign contributions on personal court cases.
Oops.
It's not normal to...
Where did she get that number from? And how did she come up with that idea?
...threaten people who back your opponent. And it's not normal to call on Russia to invade NATO countries. Donald Trump has done all of that.
Is that right?
And more in just the past month. Look, I've said it many times. I think Donald Trump was the right president at the right time. But times change, and so has Trump. He's gotten more unstable and unhinged. He spends more time in courtrooms than he does on the campaign.
I wonder why. Why is he more time in courtrooms? Because they're going to do everything they can to use this as leverage for this election, because they try to use their dirty tricks to continue to bash those that mess up all of their plans.
He refuses to debate. He's completely distracted. And everything is about him. He's so obsessed with his own demons from the past, he can't focus on delivering the future Americans deserve.
Is that right? Where'd you come up with that line?
We have two hugely flawed candidates in Biden and Trump. Americans know it. They've been saying it for years.
Yeah.
And we all know why.
Yeah. What Americans are those? Anybody know? Huh. Really interesting how she just continues to pander to those that think she's all that.
Trump and Biden are two old men who are only getting older.
Oh, so let's use the age card. Anyway, enough of that. Let's move on to, let's see, the odds to win the 2024 U.S. presidential election. Donald Trump, 52%. Joe Biden, 26%. And then look who they happen to throw in there. Michelle Obama, 15%. Well, this came up recently in nice little chat that they put out there, you know, it's part of the programming, predictive programming, I believe, to get everybody on board with their gambling in Vegas to, I don't know, the gamblers to win bigly with Michelle? Really? Here's PVD on that.
I don't think for a second these guys are sitting around saying, let's just take the L in 2024. It's okay. Let's focus on 2028.
Let's just take the loss, says the Democrats. Yeah, let's just don't think for a second they're going to just take a loss. That's true.
I don't think they're wired. I think they're going to fight to the very, very end. And if they lose, then they're going to make the candidate's life a living hell for 4 years. They're still not giving up, right? That's the wiring of the left on what they do. Having said that, if that's the case, do you really think they're going to go with Biden? Do you really think that's what they're going to be doing? Do you really think the team on Obama's camp that's going around kind of underground asking donors, hey, how do you feel about a Michelle Obama candidacy? Do you like a Michelle Obama candidacy? How about the fact that people in Las Vegas, who Las Vegas is not in the business of losing money, house rules, they always win money, right? Let's look at the odds on how much odds have changed. If you wanted to go bet a year ago on Michelle Obama, I want to say it was 100 to 1. If you bet 100 to 1 you were going to, Michelle Obama's going to be the president, yeah, we'll put Michelle Obama there. No way it's going to happen. You know, right now, number one odds of becoming a president 2024, Vegas odds, gambling, is Trump. Number two is Biden. You know who number three is 11 to 1? Michelle Obama.
Is it really?
Why is that? What do they know that the rest of us don't know about? Is there something going on there? Is there some insiders? You think Vegas is going to give up that kind of money to people? No, they're not going to. And this is a gambling thing. For some people that are pure politicians, they gamble on who becomes a president. So
they gamble. And there's the numbers to give context to the next election odds. Odds to win 2024, bet 365. That's where they're placing these numbers. Plus 550 for Michelle Obama, 15.4%. Why would they do that unless they knew what was going on? Well, of course, Don Jr. had fun with this one. This group, TYT, made sure that they highlighted this for all to see.
Jr., he couldn't help himself. He couldn't help himself, all right? The racism, the misogyny. He decides to compare our former first lady. All right. Well, let's put it up onto a linebacker. That's what he decided to do. Let's put up the rookie card, or the rookie that he said was in fact Michelle Obama. So Donald Trump Jr. caused an uproar. This was actually during Super Bowl Sunday when he shared a meme on social media insulting former First Lady Michelle Obama by likening her to a retired Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker, LaVon Kirkland.
Oh, come on, guys. You got to get a little laugh out of that one. I know some folks might say, you shouldn't be making fun of people. I know. It's just interesting that Don Jr.'s dropping some just really soft comms to let us know how all this plays out. And I was with some folks this past week, and somebody had some interesting take on this whole thing, that maybe eventually he'll finally come out and say, yeah, I'm Michael. And, you know, not everyone. I mean, we shared it with somebody we thought that we knew at a dinner table, that, hey, don't you know that that's Michael? And they kind of freaked out and didn't really understand what we were talking about, but we shared the photos and shared videos from Ellen DeGeneres and more. You guys know that maybe they're trying to eventually get everybody exposed to this transgenderism and more. Well, Dr. Phil called out gender-affirming care and warns of the long-term impacts of pushing transgenderism on children. I want to show you this clip before we move on with some other things.
It's interesting they choose words like gender-affirming care. You know, that's interesting that they call it that, but really what they're talking about is hormonal therapy or sex reassignment surgery on children. And in fairness, the American Medical Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Endocrine Society, or whatever the exact name of that is, all of the major medical associations have signed off on this, Joe. They've signed off on it. And I have never seen those organizations sign off on anything with less information as to whether or not it does long-term harm of anything in my life. And when I ask about that, when I bring that up, then they immediately label you as transphobic. And I thought that the deal was first do no harm. And all of the European countries, you know, Sweden, Norway, they've all stopped doing it because they say, we cannot say in good conscience that this does no harm, because it does harm. If you look at the long-term consequences, if someone changes their mind at 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, they can't decide which pajamas they want to wear at night. And their reason for doing it is it stops this drive for suicide, that there's a suicide epidemic. It doesn't fix that. It doesn't fix all the comorbid issues that come along with feeling like they're in the wrong body. But yet they're pushing this, and we're going to do some shows that are already taped that are revealing what the real results of this are. And I think people are going to be shocked that these medical organizations have signed off on this. I think they've just given in to the pressure.
Yeah, I just don't understand where the pressure is coming from. Another phrase they're using now is life-saving gender-affirming care. They like to smash them all together like that.
Well, I don't think
it's
that...
gaslighting.
I just don't think...
It's not life-saving. It's life-destroying. And we've shared this over and over again. Why did folks with basically less than 0.5% of the population get so much publicity? Why are they pushing so hard to ensure that in the mindset and the psyche of everyone across not only the United States but the world are bombarded with this complete satanic attack on our minds? And then they go after our children. They're constantly after our children. Why? Why spend so much time doing this? It just baffles your mind other than, you know what? There's evil in the world. We're finding out there's evil. We're finding out they're after our children. They don't care about our children. They don't care about family. They don't care about the upbringing of a new and wonderful generation. They're trying to destroy us from inside. They're destroying us in our food, with our minds, with the music industry, with Hollywood, with so much more. And yet, what do? They think they can get by with maybe softly exposing those that are at the highest echelons of power. They're able to transform themselves, trick everyone, and make them think, you're so beautiful when you transform yourself from man to woman or woman to man. It's just mind-boggling. I've spent some time explaining this in my own personal way on dealing with issues like this, especially when it comes to biblical ways. And I've shared, again, how I've spent time with those, even in the Marine Corps, that claim that they were secretly man with man or woman with woman. And I didn't really do anything other than give them a job, treat them just like I treated everybody else the same. And they were baffled that I didn't do anything negative to them or make fun of them or laugh at them or whatever. And after a while, they come to you and basically ask questions. What does the Bible say about this? And eventually, they realize, you know, they just needed somebody to basically treat them just like everybody else. It's an interesting story. Someday I'll get back into it again. Before we go there, just wanted to make sure you guys know we're at amweknow.com. Truth, hope, faith, and freedom. You can go there. That website has Watch and Rumble, follow on Twitter, all of our social media sites, Instagram, Facebook, and more. They're there. And you can actually discover that we have another website called thepatriotlight.com. That's where we have a compilation of home, politics, world news, markets, faith, social news, and resources. It's all there for you. It actually updates every 5 to 10 minutes with your latest news from different resources that we pulled together for you, like a Drudge Report for truthers. That's what I call it. Really awesome that my son put together that particular thing. And I also wanted to highlight that we have shop.amweknow.com, and we want to ensure that you guys know you can find all of our accessories, our sweatshirts, our hoodies, and more. You can go to our website too, amweknow.com, and we've, again, just walking around with this gear on, with that logo. This logo was created basically to show you what I thought was interesting, and when, you know, years ago, more than 5 years ago now, they just saw that we are all standing there with a similar to Moses, and we're telling the truth, and we put the staff in our hand and lift it up, and we're going to go through the Red Sea, and we're going to watch the enemy demolished as we cross over. And that doesn't mean that we're going to enter La La Land. It means we're going to have a lot of battles coming up within our own country and within our own sphere of friends and influencers and more. But we do want to see the enemy destroyed and make it and see that it's biblical. And so that's why we came up with that logo. And so we just ask that you would check it out. And here's more great pictures of patriots wearing our gear.
said on tape that they were set up to do what the government was banned from doing itself. And then they articulated a multi-step framework in order to coerce all the tech companies to take censorship actions. They said on tape the tech companies would not have done but for their pressure, which involved using threats of government force because they were the deputized arm of the government. They had a formal partnership with the DHS. They were able to use DHS's proprietary domestic disinformation switchboard to immediately talk to top brass at all the tech companies for takedowns. And they bragged on tape about how they got the tech companies to all systematically adopt a new terms of service speech violation ban called delegitimization, which meant any tweet, any YouTube video, any Facebook post, any TikTok video, any Discord post, any Twitch video, anything on the internet that undermined public faith and confidence in the use of mail-in ballots or early voting drop boxes or ballot tabulation issues on election day was a prima facie terms of service violation policy under this new delegitimization policy that they only adopted because of pass-through government pressure from the Election Integrity Partnership, which they bragged about on tape, including the grid that they used to do this, and simultaneously invoking threats of government breaking them up or government stopping doing favors for the tech companies unless they did this, as well as inducing crisis PR by working with their media allies. So, and they said the government, DHS, could not do that themselves. And so they set up this basically constellation of State Department, Pentagon, and IC networks to run this pre-censorship campaign, which by their own math had 22 million tweets on Twitter alone. And mind you, they just on 15 platforms. So this is hundreds of millions of posts, which were all scanned and banned or throttled so that they could not be amplified, or they exist in a sort of limited state purgatory, or had these frictions affixed to them in the form of fact-checking labels where you couldn't actually click through the thing, or you had to, it was an inconvenience to be able to share it. Now, they did this 7 months before the election, because at the time they were worried about the perceived legitimacy of a Biden victory in the case of a so-called red mirage, blue shift event. They knew the only way that Biden would be able to would win mathematically was through the disproportionate Democrat use of mail-in ballots. They knew there would be a crisis because it was going to look extremely weird if Trump looked like he won by seven states in and then 3 days later it comes out actually the election switch. I mean, that would put the election crisis of the Bush-Gore election on a level of steroids that the national security state said, well, the public will not be prepared for. So what we need to do is in advance, we need to pre-censor the ability to even question the legitimacy. This took out.
Wait, may I ask you to pause right there?
Key influences, by the way.
So what you're saying is, what you're suggesting is, they knew the outcome of the election 7 months before it was held.
It looks very bad.
It does look very bad. We talked about that. They took us down 2 weeks prior to the election of 2020. Me, along with 19 others, I believe it was 20 that were taken down. We had 440,000 subscribers on YouTube. We were growing super fast. And my family, we were in shock. We woke up the next morning. It was gone. No warnings, no nothing. We were actually showing day by day how they were playing out this election and what they were up to and how they used the COVID to bring in mail-in ballots and more. Now, just want to let you know, it wasn't long ago when the Democrats, Dr. Etiquette shows us, that they were sounding the alarm about the fraud associated with the mail-in ballots. Remember, they used to call all of this out.
Mail-in ballot has wrong written all over it.
It'd be a risky experiment for us with an election that has stakes as high as a presidential election does. We've never done a mail-in ballot statewide.
Wasserman Schultz is worried about signature fraud, disenfranchising college students, getting addresses wrong, and having private donors instead of states footing the bill. She favors seating the delegates already chosen.
There's a way to solve this without totally redoing this and causing more.
Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz argues a mail-in ballot has wrong written all over it.
It'd be a risky experiment for us with an election that has stakes as high.
How about that, huh? Just a great reminder. Again, for all of us, that all they do is lie, cheat, and steal. They belong to the father of lies, Satan. And Susan Wood shows us 217 Delta, folks. February 17th. Game over. That's what President Trump said. MSNBC just stated game over for the fake Fannie Willis case in Georgia. Another scam coordinated with the Biden White House for purposes of election interference. So he says, game over. Well, that was February 15th, and then you hit 17th, and it says, to be blunt, game over. 217 Delta for all of us to see. The greatest threat to America comes from within. The time to act is now. Douglas McGregor, got popcorn. You're watching a movie. Enjoy the show. A lot of folks are talking about that. They're failing to get rid of President Donald Trump. Now the world is slowly finding out that Obama, Biden, and Hillary planned the whole thing with John Brennan, James Corney, and the CIA. Zelensky extends Trump an offer to visit Ukraine's front lines. If Mr. Trump will come, I'm ready. Entheos put out a warning. Make all of your truths count. Make all of your tweets count. Make all your posts count. Make all of your replies and comments count. Beware of the slot machine zone state. During this period, cut down on quantity, maximize quality, disengage from provocateurs, and encourage each other on and offline, help each other on and offline, verify before hitting send or repost, verify before telling friends and family. Don't weaken your credibility. Credibility will be sought after. Seeing can no longer be fully believing. Much never introduced before, leading edge, discernment, allow time to mentally process. No need to rush. The final act of this horror show, God, family, country, and humanity. No fear. Focus. Kind of takes me, I think, now to, I think it was Laura Boley. I wanted to share something that she happened to mention about all of this. I think I have it here, right here. I've heard this phrase. No, that's not the one. Maybe we'll get to it later on. I thought I had it ready to go, but I don't. But anyway, we're going to go to right here, Ultra Peppy Lives Matter reminding us. Hillary Clinton is now wearing a Ukraine pin at a globalist meeting and claiming that Mike Johnson is holding up money unjustly because their CIA agent died in Russia. Just in case you weren't convinced that the Navalny death wasn't a PSYOP narrative designed to push for more funding to Ukraine after the Russia space nuke PSYOP failed, was fabricated one day before, it's all becoming comically obvious that I'm starting to think that those of us who are awake have become masters of seeing through their lies. We nearly instantaneously see through them at this point. In other words, we are becoming unPSYOPable. That's a great word. Yeah, this whole Navalny thing played out for all of us to see. I mean, folks, Trump will quit NATO, Hillary Clinton says, as anxiety mounts over U.S. commitment to the alliance. We're going to see that in this clip. I'm going to play it for a moment. I wanted to read this. It's finally hitting two news cycles. I have been telling you, says Q the Storm Rider, for a long time, the end of NATO was coming. Whatever happens, Trump with Cheyenne, the USS Space Force, and U.S. Space Force and World White Hats Alliance are going to reform. Just like I've been telling you all along, it will involve Russian, China, India, South America, Middle East, and then Communist China. We'll break apart into small, independent countries. Isn't that amazing how folks just chime in and all this, and we keep seeing information play out? Well, here's the Communist News Network with the evil one, if that's really Hillary.
And will the United States continue to be a leader of NATO, given former President Trump's recent comments? You know, President Biden said this week, supporting this bill, the one for foreign aid and military aid, is standing up to Putin. Opposing it is playing into Putin's hands.
Yes.
What? I mean, you're a former senator. You know, the Senate came kicking and screaming, but they passed it, but the House hasn't passed
right.
it. Where do you think, you know, in the political realm, this is going to go?
Well, one thing I know for sure, if this bill from the Senate were ever put on the floor of the House, it would pass. It would pass overwhelmingly, because the people who are preventing it, starting with the Speaker, Mike Johnson, are not doing America's business. They're doing Donald Trump's business. And why is Donald Trump so enamored of Putin? Well, part of it is he's a wannabe dictator. He has told us that repeatedly. He even said the other day, let's basically get out of NATO and, you know, encourage Putin to do what he wants to do. How absurd a statement that is cannot even be, you know, measured, because you are essentially giving a green light to a murderous, brutal dictator. Nobody who is siding with Trump on this issue would want to live under that kind of regime.
How about that? Amon or company, sitting with someone constantly pushing out to those people that think they know what's going on. Remember the Real Wires, Alex, say, Navani was an MI6 asset and was trained informant. There are a lot of cables in Russia and world intelligence that Navani was killed in prison by other prisoners who poisoned him. You have to wonder why now the mainstream media plastering the death of Navani through the world and Europe. But at the same time, United States citizen Gonzalo Lira, remember he died in Ukrainian prison and media blackwashed the story and no national mainstream media coverage or Biden administration speaking on Gonzalo Lira's death in Ukraine prison. Real truth, Navani was MI6, and his ties run deep into CIA operations that tried a color revolution, attempted using Navani years ago to stage a coup against Putin, and now they are trying to use Navani to create more sanctions and try to create an uprising in Russia. It's all part of their game. Let's see, even Lindsey Graham says Navani was one of the bravest people he's ever met.
And as to what happened in Russia with Navalny, Navalny was one of the bravest people I've ever met. When he went back to Russia, he had to know he was going to be killed by Putin, and he was murdered by Putin. So why don't we do this? I just got off the phone with two Democratic.
Can you believe that? Did Lindsey Graham see the video that we posted on Monday with Navalny up to no good as the shenanigans are played out for the world to see? And yet they come out and they play their lies over and over again. Remember Lindsey Graham. Remember, he was the one with McCain, no name, who was spotted in Ukraine doing what many would consider shady acts. These people are so desperate to get the money flowing back into Ukraine, it's almost sad to witness. How about no money? We make a peace deal, says Ultra Pepe Lives Matter. Let's continue.
The U.S. court and sue Putin's Russia for killing of their loved one. A state sponsor of terrorism designation is a game changer. It would allow more sanctions. It would open up the American courtroom.
Do you expect legislation on that this week?
Yes, absolutely. President Biden told Putin, if something happens to Vali, you're going to pay a price. President Biden, I agree with you. The price they should pay is to make Russia a state sponsor of terrorism like Iran, Cuba, and North Korea. They deserve this designation. Putin's been killing people, opposition leaders, for decades now. He's dismembered Syria. He's one of the world's worst actors. He's an indicted war criminal. Yeah.
I want to come back to what you said about this news you just made, that you're now supporting House legislation on Ukraine funding after opposing the Senate legislation. You said you think you can get former President Trump to buy in on some components. That's a big guess. Have you spoken to former President Trump about your new support for this House bill? And are you confident you can convince him to not try to kill what Brian Fitzpatrick, the House member from Pennsylvania, is putting forward?
Good question. I have not spoken to President Trump about this package. I spoke to President Trump earlier in the week about making the aid to Ukraine a loan. This was his idea, not mine. We did lend-lease to Britain.
Oh, boy. Y'all get tired of listening to him. Anyway, do you guys wondering who's going to be the VP pick for President Trump? Well, he brought up a few. One of them was Vivek, and here's another one.
Biden ran. He pledged he was going to pick a female vice president in 2020. What qualities are you looking for in your vice presidential pick?
Well, always the first quality has to be somebody that you think will be a good president, because if something should happen, you have to have somebody that's going to be a great president. A lot of people are talking about that gentleman right over there. And he's been so great. He's been such a great advocate. I have to say, this is in a very positive way, Tim Scott. He has been much better for me than he was for himself. I watched his campaign, and he doesn't like talking about himself, but boy, does he talk about Trump. And I said, I called him. I said, Tim, you're better for me than you were for yourself. But he's fantastic, and he's a fantastic person.
Someone who can step into the role.
Most importantly, you have to view that.
When Biden ran.
So, interesting, because remember, President Trump always brings up names to get everybody to do their research and find out who they are and more. And we've got the background done on Vivek. Probably need to do Tim Scott next. But anyway, that's been playing out. We've had some other folks, friends of mine too, that believe that RFK Jr. could be thrown in the mix. But we know that President Trump said that RFK Jr. couldn't be trusted. However, we know that sometimes you have to play a game, and who knows what's going on. And RFK Jr. was recently in an interview talking about both parties subservient to the military-industrial complex.
And you believe the Democratic Party has become the party of war, blaming President Biden?
I think both parties are the party of war.
So many argue the USA military machine has always been at the heart of this country's system, and that it's not something you can overturn or change in an easy way. How would you do that?
I will wind down the empire abroad. We have now 800 bases abroad, and each one of those is picking a fight with somebody. And, you know, the Russians have one, maybe two bases. The Chinese have one or two bases abroad. We spend 10 times on our military. We spend more on our military than the next 10 nations combined. And we've spent $8 trillion on useless wars since 2001. And, you know, look what we've gotten for it. The whole world is in chaos because of that. I mean, let me just go through what the cost of war of Iraq. We left Iraq worse off than we found it. We killed more Iraqis than Saddam Hussein. Iraq today is a battle, an incoherent nation with a battle between Shia and Sunni death squads. It has become a proxy for Iran, which is why all this other chaos is breaking out with the Houthis, because Iraq once counterbalanced Iran's power in the region. It doesn't exist anymore. We wiped that out. We created ISIS. We drove, with the Syrian spillover war, we drove 2 million refugees into Europe, which destabilized all the democracies in Europe for the next two or three generations. Brexit is probably a direct result of our intervention in Iraq, you know, in that way. And what's happening in France now with the rioting, et cetera, is all traceable to our Iraq war. So that's what we got. And meanwhile, the American middle class is falling off a cliff. I was at my uncle's inauguration in 1961. 3 days before he was inaugurated as president, John F. Kennedy, Dwight Eisenhower, the outgoing president, gave a speech in which probably now should be regarded as the most important speech in American history, where he warned America against the emergence of a military-industrial complex that would turn us into an imperium abroad and a national security state at home and put the weapons manufacturers in charge of American democracy. And today, that's exactly what has happened. And, you know, we are addicted to this pipeline of new wars that are being driven. You look, who's funding both the Democratic and Republican Party? It's Raytheon, General Dynamics, Northrop Grumman, Boeing, and Lockheed. And they need to put NATO in every country in Europe, because then that new country has to adopt NATO weapons purchase specifications. And it's a guaranteed market for those countries. It's all a big money laundering project.
Big money laundering project. So he brings that up. Interesting. I'll never forget when he talked about the Vaccine Act, a gold rush for big pharma.
When we passed the Vaccine Act, when I was a kid, there was only three vaccines. I was compliant. But when we passed the Vaccine Act, it made vaccines very, very valuable. And all of a sudden, there was a gold rush to add a lot of new vaccines to the schedule for diseases that aren't even casually contagious, like rotavirus, like hepatitis B. Why are we giving hepatitis B vaccine to a one-day-old child? Hepatitis B, you know, the major factors for that are it's sexually transmitted or by needles. Why would you give that to a one-day-old child? It's really a profit motive.
So he's big on all of that information and more. We even saw that the American Red Cross recently came out and said, have you ever had a coronavirus COVID-19 vaccine? They're now asking patients if they have taken the COVID jab. If you answer yes, you have to wait to see if you're eligible. Try to warn everyone. Steve Kirsch breaking, you can now sue the mRNA COVID vaccine manufacturers for damages, and the FDA is required to take the COVID vaccines off the market. Why? Adulteration. The plasmid bioactive contaminant sequences were not pointed out to the regulatory authorities. It's considered adulteration. Remember that Steve Kirsch back in October 21st, 2023 on all of that. And I've showed you picture after picture, social media post after social media post, going into detail about all of this, what is happening to people. And it's very disturbing. very disturbing. And we have had to face this over and over again. I mean, even folks lost their jobs and lost so much more because of the COVID jabs. Thought this was an interesting post.
The same people that forced you to get vaccinated to keep your job then let in 10 million people who were unvaccinated and unemployed.
Isn't that interesting? They forced you to get jabbed, made you leave your job if you didn't, and yet they let millions of people into our country unvaccinated with no jobs. Then I saw this play out here recently.
There's a new proposal in Washington that would help migrants get an expedited path to citizenship. It would require them to first serve in the U.S. military.
All right, Fox 5's Morgan McKay joins us with details on the bill, which lawmakers say could help solve two problems at once.
There is no higher honor than serving your country in uniform.
And that honor could be extended to migrants under a new bill introduced by Hudson Valley Congressman Pat Ryan. Called the Courage to Serve Act, this bill would offer qualified and vetted migrants an expedited path to citizenship if they serve in the military. According to Ryan, last year the military services collectively missed recruiting goals by roughly 41,000 recruits, leaving some crucial positions unfilled.
Again, here we go. Pat Ryan introduces the Courage to Serve Act, which would grant illegals an expedited path to citizenship if they serve in the military. There's a timeline and game theory. They threw highly trained Americans out of the U.S. military for refusing to take the deadly vaccines. I know many of them. I'm friends with those who had sons who served in the military, got out because of this, folks. Amazing, amazing folks who wanted to serve our country and said, you know what, I can't do this anymore. The single move got rid of soldiers who would refuse immoral orders. The military men and women who did take the deadly vaccines, a lot of them have suffered immense health-related issues. I've shared this with you over and over again. I've talked to many of these young Marines and sailors, and they're telling me all types of health issues that they have, and they know it's related to the jabs. The border invasion begins, allowing millions of young military-aged men into the United States. Instead of lawful entry, Democrat Dick Durbin says, why not allow illegal citizenship through the military service? If I were the enemy and I recognized America being founded on Judeo-Christian values, was the source of their strength. You guys know most of these folks that got out, by the way, were believers in Christ. Could I take advantage of their open borders to dilute the population, embed sleepers into their military, the United States military, and erode the strength of the military? If I were the enemy and the U.S. border was wide open, could I sneak some Trojan horses into the U.S. military who are loyal to the Chinese Communist Party, waiting for the right moment to cause as much chaos as possible when the time comes? Power grid, water, infrastructure, food, etc., just before the outside attack? Inject illegal migrants who lack allegiance to fundamental American values. Force. This force is just the kind of force to follow immoral orders and could impose tyranny on other Americans because they have no history with us that will cause them to think twice. If you follow Q, the drops constantly reference the Democrat playbook to flood this country with the illegals for three reasons. Votes, Muslim Brotherhood, and MS-13 187 attacks. Got that? And so as this plays out, we talk about the Intel board. Grasshopper shows us those encouraging things to remember. Dan Scavino crumbs. He remembered yesterday's Q Patriot shout out from Dan Scavino. He actually put out a Patriot sign out on a newspaper with the letter Q on it. Well, Dan drops a 30-second clip. At 20 seconds, you see the number 17 in the crowd. At 20 in the 30-second clip. Do you believe in coincidences? 2030. QAnon yesterday. Check yesterday's Dan Decode. POTUS today. Check that day's vid at 20 seconds. Every battle is won before it's ever fought. Let me zoom in on some of this. Dan Scavino crumbs. Not only is Trump dropping its time at 17 mark, it's time at the 17 mark. 17 is the letter Q. Dan is dropping the 50-second Trump video at 1622, showing the front page QVIP Patriots. There it is right there for all to see in case you guys are looking. There it is. Yeah, I mean, just a coincidence, right? And you go over here, think QAnon yesterday poll. That's actually in the Intel board. POTUS today poll. Notice any similarities? Every battle's won before it's ever fought. There you go. And there's that number 17 there. That's why I love these drops. So, yeah, we have the negative comms to let us know what they're planning on doing. But we also have the positive. And also a reminder of all the things that were going on financially. I mean, I think I had a clip for you guys to show you here where some are thinking that this is going to play out soon for a crash.
The stock market's going to crash. When the stock market does crash, it's at all-time highs right now. What's going to happen to crypto? I've heard people say that the real money is flowing into crypto, that people have finally realized that Bitcoin is the bank of the people, that it's going to continue to do its thing, it's going to continue to rise. And I've heard the exact opposite, because that's what it's always done, has been hitched to the stock market, and people are saying it's going to absolutely just get demolished. Back up, you're probably thinking, Keeper, why do you think the stock market's going to crash? Well, I don't think I know. I obviously don't know exactly when, and it would be very strange for it to happen within an election year, but with the things that are happening surrounding Donald Trump, I don't know. I could see it as a good play. They usually use the stock market as an indicator, or basically as a prop for them to say that everything's great in my America. And so I could see the elites using that as a play against Donald Trump. Back to why I think / know that the markets are going to crash. All of the big money elites, senators, they're selling. And they're selling large amounts. There's this guy, his name's Tommy Tuberville, I don't know how you say his last name. And he has a freaking fantastic record in stocks, just like Nancy Pelosi. And he's sold like 58 out of his last 60 trades have been sells. And so he's selling. You've got Mark Zuckerberg selling billions of dollars. You have got the owner of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, selling billions of dollars. Why, with the stock market at an all-time high, would these multi-billionaires, these elites, these people that control the world, be selling, and selling so much? We're not just talking about little piece parts. They're selling a lot. Well, it would indicate to me that they're getting ready for something, that they know something that you and I maybe don't know, or they want to point you to point away from. They don't want you to see or to know. The reality is they can talk about a soft landing all they want. I've said this for a long time. There's not going to be a soft landing when this crashes. It is going to crash hard.
So there's a lot of folks saying that there's going to be a crash. And we talked about this, about the banks and the problems coming and more with Dr. Kirk Elliott. And it's the time to many of folks bringing their silver, gold, the IRAs over to silver and gold with him. And we know .com is where it's at, and we've had great conversations. Hope to have another interview with him soon to post to keep us updated on what's been playing out for all of us to see. So hope you check that out. And so Laura Boley had something to say I thought was interesting. Some folks say, a point of reference, I wish there was something I could do. This is what I wanted to read earlier. I've heard this phrase over and over again from fellow travelers on this journey. As we watch with dismay the chaos unfold, there's a natural sense of helplessness and frustration that emerges within and a need to feel active and useful. My response to the sentiment is always the same. You are already doing something. Your choices, your stance, your defiance, your example are a point of reference for those around you. You are establishing a different possibility to the status quo. You are opening a new path. Setting an alternative way, showing to anyone that comes across you that a completely different paradigm of awareness is possible. People look for leaders outside of themselves, but our only mission is to become the leaders of our own life. Every time we do that, others learn that it's possible. Let go of the frustration and understand that you are doing exactly what you need to do. Your example is the solution. The only way to victory is for all of us to lead ourselves to freedom. Remember, you are at a point of reference. Never underestimate your contribution. Ever. And that leads me to her final point that I wanted to read from her. You guys remember she gave a great speech. Should I play that speech? I should play it, and then we'll close with her final statements.
We need to talk. A woman named Laura Aboli.
Here we go. We'll go straight to the speech. Laura Boley, bringing the truth. We showed this before, but I'll show it again.
Make no mistake. The final goal is to eradicate humanity as we know it. Once you understand the final destination, it becomes much easier to look back and identify the psychological conditioning, the biological tampering, the cultural grooming, and the educational prepping that we have been subjected to for decades in preparation to making us accept a post-human future. It takes a lot of physical and psychological abuse to get an intelligent species like ours to agree to its own extinction. Most, if not all, that has transcended in the last 60 years was designed to get us closer to accepting such a dystopian reality. Whether you care to accept it or not, we live in a hyper-controlled matrix where our perception of reality is meticulously planned, managed, and executed in order to control and steer us in whichever direction they wish. And the direction is a post-human world. For this, they first needed to destabilize, dehumanize, and demoralize humanity through every means possible. The destruction of the nuclear family, children being indoctrinated by the state, abortion, the eradication of God and spirituality from education, life in megacities and away from nature, toxic food, air, and water, social media replacing real human connection and interaction, engineered financial crisis and taxation, endless wars and massive migration, stress, anxiety, depression, drugs and alcohol, constant fear-mongering, moral relativism as the new religion. And I could go on and on about how humanity has been influenced and forced to move away from all the things that give us strength, security, purpose, and meaning. A weak, immoral, disconnected, ignorant, and unhealthy population is an easy target for the next stage, the creation of an entire generation of androgynous beings. Masculinity is under attack psychologically, culturally, and biologically. Women are being replaced in sports, entertainment, and politics by men pretending to be women. And children are being indoctrinated at school to think that gender is a choice. The transgender movement is not a grassroots movement. It comes from the top. It has nothing to do with people's freedom of expression, sexuality, or civil rights. It's an psyop with a clear agenda to get us closer to transhumanism by making us question the most fundamental notion of human identity, our gender.
She was dropping both truth bombs and more. And I want to close with her statement here today. It's been really interesting to witness people disappear from my life in recent years. Have you guys had folks disappear from your life? Some were due to direct disagreements, others to mutual indifferences, and others, sadly, due to lack of time. You need time to invest in friendships. Well, whatever the reason may be, the people that currently populate my life are, to a large degree, not the same ones that were present before the pandemic. Can I get an amen there? That was me staying in that. I think we can all recognize that there is a before and after the pandemic. Nobody's life remained unchanged in some way. On the flip side, the change was also due to the transformation that humanity is going through. The Great Awakening is a reality, and as we become that which we should be, we naturally gravitate towards those on the same path and away from the people who refuse to see. Now, folks, I'm going to pause here for a second and just state. When I had sitting around a table with a lot of folks who are on board with everything that we talk about and love trying to discover truth and exposing the evil, when you sit next to folks that don't want to be a part of it, you can feel it. You can sense it. You can tell by their remarks. And then after it all played out, didn't see much of them anymore, and it was disheartening. And it breaks your heart to see those that don't want anything to do with the exposure of the truth and what's going on. So I just wanted to inject that. I experienced that this past week. Life is a continuous process of change, but it's hard to believe that at any time in history, such transformative changes may have happened. It's as painful to be alive now as it is thrilling, and the only thing we can do is to continue investing in our own transformation as we inspire others to join us. And folks, I want to pause here again and just encourage you. The transformation comes from the Word of God. We continue to fail. I know we all are gravitated towards sin because we live in a sinful state, sinful life and being. But we continue to live close to the Lord. That's where the transformation comes, right? Be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew our mind through the Word of God. Let's continue. Laura Bowley says, it may be a cliche, but we really must become the change we want to see. And if that means saying goodbye to certain people in our lives, well, so be it. Others will come to say hello in more deep and meaningful ways. So let's keep moving forward.
For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your grace and mercy in our lives, for constantly guiding and directing us to do the things that are right, guiding our tongue when it needs to be closed and our mouths need to be closed, and helping us to speak up when we need to just share the truth with those around us. We thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, rose again 3 days later, and is alive and well in our lives. We thank you for the protection you continue to provide us, to our families, and more. We certainly need you each day through this battle. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen and amen. Folks, thank you for tuning in. Please hit that follow button and subscribe button. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support. So needed each day. We've got some great interviews coming up soon. I'll be with Todd Callender and his show in Clout Hub here this week. And also, we got some interviews with just some other great medical support that's going to come our way. And I'm so looking forward to getting those out to you. It's going to be amazing. For now, this is LT saying Semper Fi with Them We Know, signing out.